How's it going? This is Scott Fish. I co-host a podcast called the Commission Impossible Podcast with Ryan McDowell. We don't exactly go over player values or dynasty trades or potential or rankings or mock drafts, and we usually don't even have guests. We just like to talk about commissioner stuff, so that's what you get. You can learn about lots of different scoring systems, interesting rules, settings, how to set up your playoffs, how to determine draft order, how to determine rookie auction values, things like that. Stuff that commissioners might be interested in, like rivalries or rolling bankrolls or salary caps. We also answer commissioner questions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check us out. It's a pretty good listen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Hart.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Hart, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Josh Brickner, and I have a trading problem as well.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to session 37 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. We are going to finish up our review of our very, 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 very bad takes with our bold takes. Instead of Travis the Beard coming on to relive his... Actually, he got one right, so close. We have not John, but Josh Brickner coming along with us. Which was a close call because I'll just say it wasn't me. I won't say who else that hosts this show gave me the wrong email address. So this almost didn't happen. And I'm just, again, it wasn't me, but I won't say whose fault it was.
Process of elimination. I think we can figure that one out.
Guilty.
Never trust the Steelers, man. That's what I...
Hey, there it is. There yeah. It is. He's starting early.
It only took about 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were having a talk before we started recording that just about everybody Brian brings onto this show is a Browns fan. So there you go. You learned a little something about Josh right away. He's That's a Browns right. fan.
Diehard Browns fan my whole life.
So, okay, let's jump into that real quick. Like, how are you feeling right now? Like, do you just like get the warm and tinglies at like any given moment just because like there's hope and it's real?
I love it. I mean, this is the best I've felt in years. I mean, what was it, 2002 when Kelly Holcomb, you know, that was the high water mark and we made the playoffs and blew a lead, blew a 20-point lead to the Steelers or whatever. So yeah, I'm excited. I mean, Baker Mayfield's a real deal. The first real quarterback I've seen since Bernie Kosar, and I'm pumped. I can't wait. Yeah.
Derek Anderson had his 20 minutes in the sun.
He was a one-year wonder, you know. I mean, 07 was great, but we didn't even make the playoffs. Went 10-6, no playoffs, you know.
Anytime I could bring up Derek Anderson and Braylon Edwards, I feel like I probably could have to.
Oh, Braylon. Oh, boy. Stone hands.
Yeah. It just shows, for some reason, things can just work out for people, even when they shouldn't.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so before we just completely digress into, it seems like we were getting sadder and sadder from our happiness of Baker Mayfield, let's talk a little bit about who Josh is. Why don't you tell these fine people who you are, what you do, where they could find, assuming you do stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure to be on the show. I've been playing fantasy football actually since 1995, back in the days of the box scores and the newspapers. Started out when I was 10, helping out my grandfather in kind of a family and friends league, pretty basic scoring. Helped him out for 3-4 years, got my own team in that league, really was in that league for many years. And then probably the last 6-7 years, really, I really got into fantasy football. I mean, hardcore. Was a fantasy football addict, as we all are. Started writing last year for Dynasty Football Factory. Also in January, started writing for Big Guy Fantasy Sports, Bob Long. Check out the consistency data over there. I wrote about some standard leagues because they weren't covering standard leagues, so I did that. And then been writing for DLF since April. Did some rookie profiles and actually have profiled the tight end position very poorly this year because it's a cluster mess. So, and also wrote a Dynasty Diatribe series where I kind of give some personal anecdotes and actually wrote an article about trading where I kind of talk about how you need to be like Tywin Lannister when you trade and really just get the best deal for yourself no matter what. So.
Yeah, man, and I'm probably more like Hodor when I trade.
Oh man, yeah, and I read that article, Josh. That was a fantastic article.
Thank you.
It sums up a lot of the things that you talked about in the article are things that we talk about on the show here. So, that was a fantastic article. If you get a chance, guys, make sure you head over to DLF and check out that article that Josh wrote on trading. That it was fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put this podcast on hold so I can go read that and we could actually talk about it.
Yeah,
I should have sent it out. Yeah, sorry. But
seriously, come on. Do my work for me. I don't want to have to do things.
Yeah, but that's a little bit about me. Absolutely diehard Cleveland sports fan, big Buckeye fan. Recently got into hockey, big Vegas Golden Knights fan. Vegas is kind of my wife and I's second home. We got married there in 2013 with about 40 of our family and friends. So, yeah, I got a big golden retriever, Roosevelt. He's sleeping now, or he would be right beside me, and we would get nothing done. So,
I'm all about that.
Oh yeah,
this is absolutely a pet-friendly podcast. Pet-friendly podcast.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's great, but he would dominate the podcast. So, you know, we need to talk about trading a little bit. So,
we need a dominating personality on this. It's fine. All right, but yeah, you're right. We are just. All right. How long have you been playing Dynasty Fantasy Football?
Dynasty, about 3-4 years. I'm a little newer to Dynasty, but once I realized I could do it year round, I was it. So, you know, I love doing it. You know, I would start doing mock drafts in July when I did pre-draft, and my wife would always make fun of me because we'd be at the Outer Banks. I'd be doing a mock draft on my iPad and still do, but she always likes to give me a hard time. But once in Dynasty, it's year round and I love it.
Yeah, we don't need no stinking mock drafts.
That's right.
All right, so you've been playing you've been playing for a few years. Yeah. I would hope that you've made a bunch of trades. So why don't you give us an idea of some of your good and some of your bad, and hopefully you can help us out with some of your ugly.
I'll say, the ugliest one I made was this year. It was, It was right after Kenny Galladay was at his peak. And actually it's in the Rec Bobby League. If you guys know about that one, it's our super flex tight end premium. I traded Christian Kirk, a 2020 first, Demaryius Thomas and Ito Smith for Kenny Galladay and Kiki Kute. So yeah, that hasn't worked out as well. So
I don't think that's bad.
It's not bad, but it just, I definitely bought high on Kenny G, and he's kind of suffered since. I was without a wide receiver one on that team because basically in the auction, I kind of played the, you know, wait and see game. So my team was average, but I don't really have any superstars. So I was like, oh, I need a superstar. So, I hope he's a future superstar, but I don't think it's as big of a slam dunk as it once was. So
I think they just need at least one other person to catch the ball.
Yeah,
and
right.
I think he'll be fine. I think you'll look back on that in a little bit and you'll at least feel better about it. Cause it's Absolutely. Not like you gave up nothing for him.
Right.
Like, I think Christian Kirk's going to be something your first. I mean, who knows where that is, but no, Brian knows all about Galladay love.
Yeah. I love Galladay. I would have probably been right there beside you buying. It's been a little rough the last couple of weeks here with him being banged up and then, being the only offensive weapon essentially right. on that team right now with Johnson out and with all the receivers other than Galladay hurt, or traded. So, it has definitely been a little bit rough over the last couple of weeks with him, but long-term I do like Galladay. I think he can play the way that he was playing earlier in the season, hopefully, moving forward. So.
Yeah, you hope that when Marvin Jones, you know, comes back healthy next year, and they at least need one more guy. I don't think that's Bruce Ellington or TJ Jones, but that offense was humming when they had Golden Tate and Marvin Jones and Kenny G. So,
yep, man. If only they had a baller tight end, like, I don't know, maybe someone like Eric Ebron. I don't know.
Oh, Eric Ebron. Yeah, that's my Eric Ebron love, and in air quotes, you cannot see this on if you're listening, but I basically had to write Eric Ebron because I called him the king of mediocrity many times this year. So yeah,
I talked about my Eric Ebron love with hard hands.
I know, yeah, this is me. I did it in writing. I might as well do it in podcast form. I was incorrect on Eric Ebron this year. And basically had to, you know, the last 3 weeks going to Eric Ebron apology tour. So
there you go. Nice. We are not even doing make amends this episode, and we got one.
So yeah, that's awesome.
And I'll say one of my best trades, and this one I'll say is, I don't want to say, I wrote about it in the article. I won't say it's controversial, but in the DLF staff league, I had Jerick McKinnon, and this is obviously back in the spring, you know, when he was the best thing since sliced bread, and that team isn't very good. I mean, it was, you know, we had a dispersal draft, and my team wasn't good, so I knew I wanted to sell McKinnon. So I had someone offer me a 2019 first and second. So, you know, a pretty fair offer. So I did my due diligence, sent out an email to the league and said, look, I have an offer on the table for McKinnon. If somebody wants to, I didn't say what it was, but I said, you know, send an offer quick or I'm about to accept it. And someone sent me a 2019 first in Duke Johnson, which, you know, in the summer, being a Browns fan, Duke's my favorite player. And, that, you know, Duke had a ton of dynasty value back then. So I said, oh, this is a much better deal. So when the other owner saw the email, he was thinking about pulling his offer and was upset. He was more upset when I told him I would accept the other deal. So well, enjoy my Duke prize. And he did not mean it. I can tell you, he didn't mean it. So
no, that's good. Let's see.
Sorry not to interrupt you, but we didn't agree to the deal. I didn't say, oh yeah, deal. I said, look, I got to do my due diligence. I don't know what he thought that meant. I was trying to be quick about it. I wasn't going to send a message to every single owner, you know, one by one. So
I don't really think that's controversial at all, honestly.
Yeah. I was trying to find a way. Like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with trying to get the most out of your deal.
Right. Yep.
If you did say the word, oh yeah, no, I'm definitely down to do that. But wait, let me just go ask these people first. That's borderlining kind of a jerk move. But like, if you're just saying, yeah, that's pretty good, let me think about it, and then you go blast your group chat. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, don't feel bad.
No, I mean,
you don't seem too broken up about it.
And I'm like, no, I don't really feel bad at all. So
no, yeah. Screw that guy.
Oh, no, don't feel bad about it, Peter. Oh, I never thought about it that way. Family guy fans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are two trades. Yeah, I guess the Kenny G trade, it just, you know, kind of Captain Hindsight here, just feeling a little bit, maybe I gave up too much, but hopefully next year it'll work out better. So.
As long as you had fun while you're doing it, that's the real important part.
It's all about pretty rosters, not good rosters.
That's right.
As long as you have the highest number when you type your team into the trade calculator, that's what matters.
That's right.
All right. So before we get on to the news, what is your guiding principle you take with you whenever you're offering trades or evaluating trades?
This is a hard one because I mean, everyone says, oh, you want to win the trade. I want to make sure you're making your team better, whatever your situation is. If you're rebuilding, make sure you get enough, you know, future building blocks or picks. I mean, I don't love trading for picks. I understand it, but I'd rather get a player who I know, you know, is on the rise if I'm a rebuilding team. Obviously, if I'm a contending team, I want a player that's going to help me right now, you know, win the championship. And that's it. You know, that's it. Those are my guide principles. Make sure you're making your team better wherever it is in the, I guess, the dynasty hierarchy, you know?
Yeah, true. Again, I mean, we brought up calculators. It's not about getting the higher number. It's about making your team better, and that's not the same for every team.
No, it's not. So you can say, oh, I want to win a trade. Obviously, if you're a contender and I'm 1-12 or 1-11, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to help me to get, you know, to get a player like, you know, like Eric Ebron. No, just kidding. But it's, you know.
I found the mute button on this thing. I can just shut you off right now.
No, you just want to make sure that you're getting the best player that's going to make your team better, either if you're a contender, you know, and that's it. It's it's all about your team, and if you're really good at trading, some people are going to be hesitant to trade with you. I found that in Dynasty not as much. I found that in my redraft leagues a lot. So,
oh yeah, home leagues are the worst. Whenever you trade too much, people think you know something.
Yep. I've had a tough time making deals this year after making a couple big ones last year, trying to. So yeah.
I want to win a trade, Brian. Send me Trubisky, but you know, let me win.
You gonna send me Randall Cobb in a third?
Oh man, wow, what a callback. I like it. Before the season, I was doing everything. Every player on his team, I offered Randall Cobb in the third for.
Like, literally.
Which was good at the time. Which, I mean, it didn't work out, but Randall Cobb, rest in peace.
He got a touchdown this past weekend.
Yeah, and we actually could kind of talk about him a little bit going towards the main event of the show, which I didn't even tell anybody what it is yet because I got so sidetracked. I started to say we are going to talk about our hot takes we took. We tried to predict before the season, and then we, in our main event, are going to talk about players to throw in or get thrown in on trades. So it doesn't necessarily mean for peanuts, but it's just to get a deal done to try and sneak these guys in, maybe. And also some guys that are injured that you're going to hope people forget how good they actually are, and you can try and scoop them off of people's teams. So that's what we're talking about. But before we do that, here's the news.
The news.
John DeFilippo. DeFilippo? That guy was fired as the offensive coordinator from the Vikings. Now, is this a scapegoat thing? How do you guys even feel about this? Was their offense bad?
It looked miserable last night. Now the Seahawks have a solid defense, but obviously they're going to blame the offense coordinator, not the $100 million quarterback, because that's just the way life works, you know?
Hey, it's only like 84 or something.
Oh, 84. Okay. Well, I guess I was rounded up, but yeah. You know, John DeFilippo, he was the Browns offensive coordinator. I'm sure he had zero talent to work with, but he never, jumped off the page to me, and people are talking about him as a short list for our coaching candidates. No, thank you. So, now he's got a lot more talent and can't, and is having trouble. So it was a little bit of a scapegoat move, but I don't think it was not without merit, his firing. That's my opinion.
All right. Do you think this will affect anything on the Vikings going forward for the rest of the season until they find whatever there's going to be, whatever is going to be there next?
I would say that going forward, I would say the next game, if you're playing a week 15 match when you have Vikings, usually after you fire an offensive coordinator, the guy coming in really has a laser focus that first game back. And, I expect Thielen, Diggs, Cook to get fed all this coming week. So,
and I like the sound. That should just be every week.
That should be every week. That's probably why you got fired. But
yeah, I think for me the biggest I think they're going to get Dalvin Cook the ball. I think that's the biggest thing. He had a pretty solid game against the Seahawks, even though team wise they didn't really score.
Garbage.
He got like five or six passes. And
wait, hold on. Talking about touchdowns. How was that pass legal?
Now,
from Cousins.
Now I'm not going to lie to you. After Russell Wilson, I was pretty distraught. So I went to sleep. I'm not going to lie to you. So I missed the garbage time. So I did miss it. I'm not going to lie. Full disclosure. I missed the garbage time touchdown. Dude, read about it.
It passed the line of scrimmage. I want my shutout. Now that touchdown did nothing for or against me in any leagues I'm in, so I'm not super salty about it, but it's just like, come on, man. Shut out. All right, sorry, I interrupted someone. Someone was talking.
I'm so used to it by now. It just rolls right off my shoulders, so. Now, I was just talking about Cook. I just think Dalvin Cook's probably going to be the biggest beneficiary here in the short term. I think they're really going to focus on getting him the football. I hope they still try to get it to Diggs, because I have so many shares of Diggs, it's ridiculous. So,
amen, brother. Moving on. Okay. Jordan Reed finally got hurt. This is like the moment we wait for every 20 seconds. Jordan Reed got hurt. Oh, of course Jordan Reed got hurt. But he made it like a large way through the season. And I don't even remember him being all that nicked up. I remember in the preseason he did. And we're just like, okay, that's not, he had a hamstring, then a toe, and then his imaginary foot that, you know, follows him around or something weird like that. But he stayed healthy and still not very fantasy relevant, but now he's hurt again. So Vernon Davis season?
I mean, I think back at right before the season started, I wrote a tight end article saying sell Jordan Reed now while he still has some value, thinking, you know, he's basically like a time bomb on your team. That's, you know, on your squad that once he gets hurt, you're never going to be able to sell him. But he did make it through the season. I was surprised. You're right. He didn't do very well. Vernon Davis, I mean, he'll have his game, but do you really want to count on Josh Johnson throwing somebody the ball when you're trying to win a championship? I'm not starting Vernon Davis anywhere, so that's my opinion. But
yeah, I know it sucks that it's late in the season and we don't get to like pretend to hope that Vernon Davis or these random small people will make our lineups.
Yeah. I mean, Vernon Davis got me a goose egg last year when I wrote for DFF. I did the tight end starts and he got me a goose egg 2 weeks in a row. I know recent, but I just, you know, it's hard for me to trust the guy because not only did he get me a goose egg twice, but he got the 200 readers, you know, a goose egg. So.
All right. And we don't want to keep harping on these hurt feelings. Yes. So let's move on to another guy that we are absolutely not going to put in our lineups. Kelvin Benjamin got signed by the Chiefs. Why does somebody sign Kelvin Benjamin? Do they need a backup tight end? Like, okay, so, and this was before Tyreek got hurt in the game, right? Like, or was this afterwards? Because Tyreek hurt his heel, I think it was, but he still played through it. So I assume he's still, well, they play Thursday. So I think it's probably iffy if he plays. I hope he plays. Please play.
I think he missed practice today, Tyreek did.
Friday's the day that matters. I mean, the right. Dude, you know, stubs his toe. They're going to let him sit out of practice on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Actually, they play Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I just said Friday. Yeah, so as long as he practices Wednesday, I guess it's fine. So, yeah, he absolutely let him sit out. But, yeah, I don't think Kelvin Benjamin is any actionable news. I just wanted to laugh and Benjamin sign somewhere.
I would say that the Chiefs buffet line, you know, and their post game meal is gonna, you know, they're gonna need to up that budget with Kelvin Benjamin. But other than that, I don't think it has much dynasty relevance. So.
I might just want to turn that meal into a buffet and eating contest between Kelvin Benjamin and Andy Reid. All right, but now we're just sort of getting mean at this point. So let's move on. Austin Eckler was ruled out already because he's in the concussion protocol. So at least this one, I think people might be firing up their Justin Jackson shares. 2 weeks ago, he looked good. I still claimed that offensive line refused to block for Eckler, but did do a very good job blocking for Justin Jackson, and that's why he looked so much better. But I did always like Jackson coming in. So what are your feelings on this backfield?
Justin Jackson's be an RB1 on volume alone on Thursday night in a high scoring game in Kansas City, you know, Kansas City and the Chargers. So fire up. It's Justin Jackson's season this week, at least. I mean, even if Gordon's a game time decision, I know we talked about that off air. Even if Gordon plays, I can't imagine he sees his normal workload. So you have to think that Justin Jackson's in line for at least what, 10 to 15 touches, and that's his floor, possibly, I would think. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Melvin Gordon, yeah. Practiced limitedly today on Tuesday. Are you going, if let's say he limits practices Friday, do you feel safe plugging him in your lineup if you have him in your playoff team?
I mean, my opponent in my home league big money redraft has him, so And I'm not sure if I really want it. Because at first I'm like, oh, he's out, and, you know, that's great. But if he plays, you know, I can't see him playing. I mean, maybe he'll, what, 5 to 7 touches? There's no way they give him as heavy workload. I would be hesitant about putting him in there depending on my other options. If I had another sturdy option, I wouldn't put him in there.
Okay, but let's say you have Justin Jackson on your team. You putting him in there instead of Melvin Gordon, or are you just going to play for the ceiling with Gordon?
I would probably play Justin Jack. Oh boy.
Yeah, there you go. Gotcha.
That's a tough one. I mean, Melvin Gordon's the reason you're here. I mean, it's one of the, if you're in the semifinals or you got to buy, it's because of Melvin Gordon. So, I mean, you got to start your studs. So, but
true.
This is one of those times. I don't know. I would have to see, you know, how he's feeling pregame. I mean, that's going to be at 8. The game's at 8:15 Thursday. That's an 8 o'clock decision that you got to see how he, you know, turn on the pregame, see how he's doing, listen to, you know, listen to Aaron Andrews. That's going to be a tough one.
And we might have to go get some scouts on the field to see how he looks on his cuts in the pregame.
Yeah, the Twitter scout, you know, the Twitter, the beat writers. Yeah, follow your LA Chargers and Kansas City beat writers to see how Melvin Gordon's looking on Thursday pregame.
Yeah, so that is all the news I even really care to talk about. I kept asking people what I should talk about, and they kept saying things that I just don't care about. So that's all we're going to talk about, because this is my show, damn it. Before we get into our main event, we are going to finish up our review of horrible off-season takes and do our hot takes.
Hot takes.
The hell was that?
Did you just go through puberty?
I'm trying all the sound.
Everybody, Brian has finally become a man.
We're so proud. Our little guy's all grown.
Hair receded pretty quickly.
Oh, get out of here. I shaved it off.
Yeah. And it's for looks, not because you needed to.
Exactly.
You like the way it looks.
Exactly. I was too all right, hot so, all the time, so I had to get rid of it.
Yeah, you are too hot.
Ooh, all right, moving along.
Hot takes.
Speaking of. I mean, you invited me on here. I didn't want to be a third wheel.
All right, no, we're just gonna move on because my brain was wow. Our original hot takes episode had Travis Rasmussen, the beard himself, on, but we don't have him here. We have Josh. So I tried asking Josh to grow a beard as quickly as he could, and while I would never expect anyone to be able to grow the Travis Rasmussen beard that quickly, because you would probably die from it. That
would be dangerous if he tried to do that.
He tried. He did his best. I appreciate it. So we are going to ask Josh to read off Travis's hot takes and let us know how he did.
All right. Let's see. Luck QB2. Obviously, you know, he's QB4, so that was a pretty it's a pretty good take. Ebron double digit TDs. Ugh, that is true, unfortunately.
But I want to tie this back. Brian, one of his bold takes was that Luck was going to be, I think he even said, the QB1 in ADP.
Yep,
and he's the QB2 in December.
Yeah, that's close. I mean, I'll give you that one. That's a bold call.
Because it was 7 last month, so he jumped. I'm guessing they did this before the Jaguars game.
Yeah. See, I mean, I was one of those guys telling people to stay away from Luck. I mean, I didn't think he was going to play this season, so that's a bold take, and damn proud of that one. Marquise Goodwin, top 16 wide receiver. Now, I would have probably made this – I was a huge Marquise Goodwin fan coming into the season. So, Travis, we are brothers in that one, and I had Marquise – I have Marquise Goodwin on a few dynasty teams that he
I have this really
made the lineup. Yeah. Jamison Crowder. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I was a big Jamison Crowder fan as well, and I would have said he might easily be a top 24 wide receiver. I thought his floor was a wide receiver 3, so we all kind of failed there. You know, he's not going to catch, 70-yard garbage time touchdowns every week, so.
Be awesome if he did, though.
That would be great, yeah. Let's see, Alshon, top 10 wide receiver point. I got Alshon dirt cheap in the Rec Bobby League that I mentioned before, and he and I not in the playoffs. He has been a big disappointment. So
yeah, I got a lot of him in my playoff push, no less.
Oh,
because when he first came back and he was healthy, Wentz was healthy, he put up like 2 or 3 20-point games, and I'm like, yeah, let's do this.
Yep.
People weren't selling him at that capability. They were selling him as a low-end 2, high-end wide receiver 3, and unfortunately, I didn't even get that. Well, I guess technically, he's wide receiver 29 in points per game, so
So that's
kind of a wide receiver three, but it's still not what you want.
No, it's not what you need. So Travis, you know, I wouldn't have agreed with Ebron double digit TDs. So good job.
And you would have been wrong.
I would have been wrong. You can go back to every one of my tight end articles and you can troll me for Eric Ebron. Like I said, the apology tour continues. So
and it will keep continuing. Speaking of continuing, Brian.
Yo, so I'm looking at these. I didn't do too bad on these. My hot takes, I hit on more of these.
You just had one really, 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 really big miss that I had too,
well,
to be fair.
At least part of that looks like it could happen. But yeah.
Let's save that one for last.
Yeah. So my first one was about Le'Veon Bell. And this was, again, before the season. I said he was going to be done with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He would not play for them this season. And then he would join the New York Jets in 2019. And also never be elite again. Now that part of it is my least confident part. I think the other two parts
that's
have
the
a really
saltiness speaking.
Yeah, that's definitely the saltiness speaking as a Steelers fan. But yeah, so that one it looks, you know, obviously Bell has not and will not play for the Steelers again. New York is the odds-on favorite to land him. Now I don't know if they actually will land him. My reasoning for saying that when I did earlier in the season was the focus on his rap career. He seems to be real focused on that. Seriously, he seriously seems to be real focused on that. So New York is a place that, you know, can make those dreams come true too pretty easily. So I think I just thought that factored in with the fact that they had a boatload of money and still do. You know, I think it's a good chance that he lands in New York with the Jets. And then the elite thing, yeah, we'll just have to see on that one. But that was definitely the salt talking. Mm-hmm. The second one here was that the Chicago Bears would make the playoffs, and it looks like they're going to make it. They need one more win, I think, to clinch a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. So that one looks pretty good. This is my absolute favorite one. And anybody that
and
knows
it's a good thing we didn't get this in last week that we waited.
Yeah, because the episode might have been like 3.5 hours long last week. So and because of what happened in the last week. So DLF posted December ADP and Saquon Barkley. My hot take was that Saquon Barkley would be in consideration for league MVP. And that he would be Saquon 01 in startups by the end of the season. And in December ADP, he is the number one startup pick of the mocks that had been posted this morning, I believe. He went first in 3 of the 4, and he's the first. He's the first overall in startups right now in ADP over at DLF. So this one was 100% true. All of it came true. I got lucky a little bit, obviously, but I've been a believer in the Barkley stuff, obviously, for a long time. So I'm happy that this one came true. And he should be in league consideration for MVP. He won't be, seriously. Yeah. But, you know, and
it's just going to be a quarterback anyway.
It usually is. And there's been some unbelievable quarterback play this year. So can't take it away from those guys, obviously. But I think anybody that had any doubts about Saquon at one point or another, and not in real football terms, because we've talked about that as far as should the Giants have drafted him, right? Maybe, maybe not. For their team purposes. But as far as Saquon, the talent at running back, I think anybody that had any questions about it, they're probably over that at this point.
Oh yeah. And if you don't mind me, I got to agree with Brian on that one. I actually wrote an article for Big Guy Fantasy Sports, kind of looking at consistency and the history of, you know, the coaches and their running backs with consistency. When Shurmur coached the Browns, I think Trent Richardson was a top 10 running back on volume alone, and he's a garbage talent. So, I mean, I knew Saquon was going to be fantastic for fantasy football. It's too obvious. I mean, he's uber talented, and he was going to get a ton of volume. So it's to me that was a slam dunk. And that was a great prediction, Brian.
Thank you.
Remember like 2 weeks ago when Dynasty Trade Calculator put out that Saquon was worth more than Gurley and everyone flipped the hell out.
Yep.
Those three out of four people apparently did not flip out and agreed.
Yep. And then my last one here was still has a chance to be partially right, but it also is majorly wrong. So I predicted that the Rams would go to the Super Bowl.
Good move. Start with the good.
That's a win.
And play the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I had the Jags winning the Super Bowl. So,
yeah, I don't think that. I think you missed on that one.
Yeah, I definitely missed on that one. You know, I thought that defense was something special with what they did last year, and they're not very special. And the Jags also got Blake Bortles. You know, everybody in the fantasy community at the beginning of the year kind of caught the Bortles thanks to our buddy Bobby and some other
thanks,
folks.
Thanks, Bobby.
But the actual Jacksonville Jaguars caught the Bortles as well, and it did not turn out well for them. So,
no.
So yeah, big miss on that one.
Yeah, now they got the Kessler.
Yeah.
As a ASJ truther, yes, I definitely caught the Bortles and the Jaguars hype very badly.
His bold take for the Jaguars was that ASJ was going to be top eight this year.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I said he's going to be a tight end one. I wrote 1,800 words about it, and I just feel stupid now. So.
How do you write 1,800 words about Austin Seferian Jenkins? You just write his name a bunch of times, and you have 100 words already.
No, it was about how, you know, the Hackett, you know, featured tight ends and how they didn't have a true number one receiver, and yeah, it was just wrong. That's all I can really say.
I'm sure it was a wonderfully written article, at least.
Yeah, I was proud of it. Yes, it was well written, but wrong. Yes.
All right. So speaking of wrong, let's get into my hot takes.
Yours are hilarious, dude. Like
mine
the one
are so bad.
The one word at the end of every single one of these is the exact same word. It's hilarious.
Nope. All right. So my first was Deontay Foreman is going to come back after the Texans' Week 11 bye and take the job from Lamar Miller. And that did not happen.
No.
Deontay Foreman, I think he was activated, to be fair, because I think I got an IR error message thing on MLF when I tried to set my lineup. So there's still a chance that he comes back and just blows the world away. Yeah.
You're telling me there's a chance.
Oh, yeah. Dumb and Dumber. Jeff. So clearly that's not going to happen. Lamar Miller has been pretty good. Last week was a little rough, I think, for a lot of the Texans offense in general. So Lamar Miller is part of the Texans offense, so he didn't do great either, but he's been looking good, which is such a trap that fantasy people are going to fall into, because I remember when he was in Miami, he was so good and everyone's like, just let him get the opportunity. And then he did, and then he didn't do well. And now he's doing well again. And chances are he's probably going to get cut because they owe him a lot of money. And then he's going to go somewhere and he's going to do well, and he's probably not going to do well.
Sell.
I unfortunately just bought in a best ball league because I needed to make my rush for the end. So hopefully that's no. Let's go Lamar Miller. Yay.
I always play the lit. Always.
Yeah.
If you're in it, always.
My next take was, this was really honestly just to get at Brian. No rookie running backs would be in the top 10 fantasy running backs.
Mm-hmm.
I did both of my Redskins take was that Darius Geis was going to outscore Saquon. And now I did this just because as many digs as I can get at him as possible. And clearly this is completely wrong. I think we probably would have gotten multiple if people stayed healthy.
Yes.
Well, Philip Lindsay's actually right there too. He's 11th right now, and only 8 points behind Tariq Cohen. So there's a pretty good chance.
Oh, I think if Geis were there, he would have been, or at least he would have had a chance. I think if the Lions weren't idiots and actually used him earlier, and he stayed healthy, I think he would have had a chance.
Nick Chubb, if he'd have played before week, there you go.
Yeah, thanks to you.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks to you.
No. I'm glad they did not play Chubb right away. I was able to buy like two shares during the season instead of just drafting them. So no, thank you, Browns.
So here's a question: is Saquon Barkley the odds on? I mean, is he going to win Rookie of the Year hands down, or does Philip Lindsay have a case? I think Philip Lindsay has a case. I don't know.
The only case he has is draft capital.
Josh, thanks for coming on the show. You know, see yourself out. No, I'm kidding. Lindsey's had a tremendous year. What he's doing in Denver is absolutely fantastic. It really is. And I think in most years he would probably win it. I think the hype that surrounded Barkley will win him the award. And that and the splash plays. You know, Barkley goes 78 every other week. And I think that, you know, that and the fact that he catches all the passes. I think those things will push him over the top for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think the other guy that would have had a really, really good shot at it if he would have gotten in there a week or two earlier is Baker, because he's been unreal since he's gotten that job, and especially over the last 3 weeks. He's been – I mean, he's looked like a superstar the last several weeks. So,
I love it.
So, I do not love it as a Steelers fan. I love it in fantasy.
It's coming for you.
That old team's coming for us, I'm afraid.
We're coming for you.
Yeah.
I want to have a showdown of Offensive Rookie of the Year, and it'll be Battle of the Bays. You have your Baquan, I have my Baker.
Yeah.
Even though Baquan's winning it for sure, it would still just be fun because our two bays of these rookies, and they happen to be both what we think are the two best shots for Rookie of the Year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and let me say, not that I was not a Philip Lindsay believer at first. Wrote an article after week one comparing him to Kevin Ogletree. So let's not. So I don't want to pretend like I was a Philip Lindsay super fan, but I've definitely come around. So.
Oh yeah, me too. Me too, for sure.
I just honestly, it was like Tariq Cohen from last year.
Yeah, that's what I could. Yep.
Like towards the end of camp, you start hearing those things. So you're just like, let me grab. Like, I got a couple of shares of him right before the season started. And it's just, you know, back then everyone was just like, but my Jordan Howard shares. And I'm like, but all my Royce Freeman shares. Yeah. So I read all the hype. I saw him do it. So I kind of believed it was a thing. I was just hoping they would stick to Royce Freeman a little bit more. Just again, not because I have anything riding on it in the real world, or I think that Royce is that great of a talent. It's just that I have so many Royce Freeman shares.
Yeah, I wrote a rookie running back series for Big Guy Fantasy Sports and pumped up Royce Freeman pretty hard and said he was worth, I think at that time, fifth round ADP. So everyone that took Royce Freeman in the early to mid early rounds, I apologize. Luckily he was gone in all my drafts, you know, all my redrafts before I took him. So apologies to the redraft community that read my article and listened to me. So
yeah, let's distract from how bad my takes were and start talking about how bad yours were. I like it. Yeah, thank you. You're a great guest.
I want to help you out. So.
All right. So my last take, which does not help any credibility out. Well, to be fair, we don't know. He got hurt. Marshawn Lynch is going to finish as a top five running back and then retire. So, I mean, let's face it. It didn't look like it was going to happen, but we can't say with 100% certainty it wasn't going to happen. So there you go. It's not a W, but it's not an L. I'm gonna leave it at that.
It's a
tough. But we think he's done, right? I mean, he's not gonna follow the team to Vegas. He was there because it was his hometown, right? Like, right. Is that what everyone else thinks?
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. So that was our hot takes. That was. I mean, I guess the point of hot takes is to throw, you know, stuff at the wall and see what sticks, and you know, at least you guys had something. Which is fun to laugh at. But let's move on to our main event.
The main event.
All right. So as I said before, we got into the hot takes. Our main event this week is talking about the bottom parts of your trades. Now, these guys may not necessarily be what you're aiming for in your trade or what you're trying to trade away, but they're just parts to get trades done and to sort of make your team a little better along the way, because not every trade, not everything that makes your team better needs to be a big piece. I've always said from the beginning of the show, baby trades are what makes your team go around. So while every trade doesn't need to just be a baby trade or a big trade, you get some of these guys involved. So let's start with, you know what, we're going to do all of our throw in. Then we're going to do All right, let's actually use words that make sense. We're going to go down, each of us, and give our players that we want thrown in on deals. Then we're going to go down our list of players that we're going to be like, all right, well, okay, your guy's worth a little more. Let me throw this guy in. And then we're going to talk about some injured players that you're going to hope people have sort of pushed to the back of their mind and forgot how good they are, so you can try and trade for them and maybe use these guys as throw-ins. So, Josh, why don't you give us the player that you want thrown in on your trades?
Yeah, absolutely. I really like Tyrell Williams coming into the offseason. He's a free agent. Hopefully, you know, if he gets in the right landing spot, he could absolutely be a wide receiver too. I can't remember the year. The year Keenan got hurt, I mean, he put up solid numbers.
2 years ago, yeah.
And his market is not – I thought he had a little bit more value when he was putting up, you know, getting those long touchdowns in the middle of the year. I tried to trade him for David Njoku and couldn't even, you know, in a non-tight end premium and the guy, you know, acted like I was trying to rip him off. So his value is not that high. So, and I think he could be one of those players that we're looking at this time next year that he's going to be on a lot of playoff teams if he hits the right landing spot. So I am a Tyrell Williams believer. So if you're having a throw in, absolutely go for it.
Yeah, I'm all about the gazelle. In real NFL, the Chargers, I still can't call them Los Angeles. It's still weird. I'm saying San Diego.
I mean, that was a bad idea for them to move.
Yeah. All right, so the Chargers put a second-round tender on him, and I almost wrote letters to John Schneider at the Seahawks. Like, dude, it's worth it. Just do it. Go get this man. I'm a fan of his talent. I like him. I like the player. So, yeah, this is awesome. And I have been doing this. So, good call, man.
Thank you.
Brian.
Yeah.
Who's your guy?
My guy, well, I have several. Zzz. Of course. the first one is Deshaun Hamilton, the wide receiver in Denver there.
Where did he go to college?
He went to Penn State.
Homer alert.
He went to Penn. Hey, yeah. I can't.
But it's fine, man. You know, we talked about him coming in that we were both big fans. So.
He's solid.
Yep. Well, and especially now. I mean, Manny Sanders going down with the Achilles. First of all, horrible ending to what has been a pretty nice career for him. I really don't know that Manny's going to make it back from that injury. I mean, it's hard enough. You look at Foreman and some of the younger guys that have gone through an Achilles tear. And Sanders, you know, for a position that has to cut so sharply and those types of things, I just don't know that Sanders is ever going to get back. And if he does come back, is he ever going to come back at the same level where he was? There's a lot of question marks there. I also don't think he's back in Denver for sure. Because I think they have $10.5 million. So, you know, and they have Hamilton who is, I mean, he's made to play the same position. You know, he's made to play more that slot and second outside receiver. I think he's going to spend most of his time in the slot. I really do. And he's a good slot receiver. I think he can be productive at the NFL level in that position. The very first article that I actually wrote for DLF was a rookie profile as well, Josh. We came in, I think, with Dynasty League Football at the same time. So, so I was all hands on deck for those articles, and I also wrote a couple rookie profiles, and one of my guys was Hamilton. You know, he's a guy that just he battles for the football. He makes contested catches. He's an unbelievable route runner. He's very, very quick off the ball. He's not overall explosive, but he's quick off the ball. He can create separation that you need to create in a slot. And he knows where to sit down in routes. So I think he's a guy that's going to have some opportunity now in Denver. And I think he's going to have a clear defined role. Is he ever going to be a superstar? No, but he's going to be a guy that you can plug in your lineup.
You need them.
You know, as a flex play or a third wide receiver or something like that. So, so I like getting him thrown in. My second guy or guys is TJ Yeldon and Carlos Hyde in Jacksonville, which neither one may be in Jacksonville after this season. I think that they can cut Hyde for no dead money after this year. If they hold on to him, he's going to be a $5 million backup. Oof. And I just don't see that happening. 4.75 mil is his cap hit next season if he's on the roster. you know, so I just don't see that happening. And then Yeldon is another guy that, you know, now he could end up re-upping with them. He's a little bit younger. I think he's 25 years old, whereas Hyde is 28 years old. But both of those guys are guys that, you know, I'm trying to get thrown in case that the landing spot next year ends up being beneficial for them, you know, and they can maybe get into a timeshare where there's only two backs or get a role where they're going to get 60% of the carries in an offense. So, and then finally Ito Smith and Russ, I know we'll probably debate this a little bit, but, Ito Smith's a guy that I'm looking to get thrown in as well. You know, Tevin Coleman is likely out of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And if he's not, then Devonta Freeman is probably likely out in Atlanta. So Ito Smith is going to have a role to play in that offense as the second running back, essentially. You know, we've seen that position. I don't know if he's the same type of player that Tevin Coleman is, you know, from a production standpoint, but we've seen that the second running back in that offense can be productive. Coleman has been an RB2 each of the last 2 years. So, you know, I think Smith has some upside there. Again, these are throw-ins. So these aren't guys that you're thinking, oh, they're going to carry me to a championship, but they're guys that you might be able to plug in a flex play, you know, or during bye weeks or, you know, as a second or, you know, an RB2 essentially. You know, he's another guy that I'm trying to get thrown into deals.
All right. Wait, before we move on, if you had to choose Yeldon or Hyde, who would you be going after of the two of them?
So age says that Yeldon is the choice. So I guess for me, it would depend on my team. I know that's a cop out, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah.
But I would say, I mean, if I have a somewhat competitive team, I'd rather have Carlos Hyde because I think, you know, I've seen him produce at a pretty good clip. I mean, he was good in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Underrated, really. So, you know, I think he's more talented overall, but Yeldon's done some pretty nice stuff this year in the absence of Leonard Fournette in that offense. And before they brought Hyde in, Yeldon, you know, he did some nice things there, catching the ball, especially. So I like both. I if I had to choose, I guess Hyde, but I think most people would choose Yeldon in Dynasty because Hyde's, you know, he's already 28. He's, you know what that 30 number does to Dynasty assets. So I think people would mostly lean more towards Yeldon.
Yeah, and I got to say, Hyde's got a lot of tread on those tires, too. I mean, as a diehard Buckeye fan, he was pounding the rock many times, even in college. So, I mean, and you got to think, is Hyde ever going to get that chance to be a lead back again? You know, I don't know. And I mean, so I just kind of want to jump in, and especially for Yeldon. I think if he re-ups with Jacksonville, he absolutely has some value there because Leonard Fournette's like the Gronk of running backs. He's always going to be a game time decision. He's going to miss games. I don't know. I think that whoever the RB2 is in Jacksonville, especially if it's Yeldon, is going to have some dynasty value. And if you have Fournette, you have that handcuff. I would pay a little, not a premium, but I would pay a little more than value if I have Fournette to make sure I have that backup running back in Jacksonville. So.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah, I don't think Yeldon's value is really based on him becoming a free agent. I think honestly, he gains a little value once he signs, no matter where it is, I think. So I like those calls. I mean, we'll talk about Ito Smith later. So the players I want thrown in on my deals, any of the secondary Green Bay wide receivers, I'm not a fan of collecting entire groups. Like, I don't want all of them. I remember at the beginning of the season, I had Aaron Jones on a lot of teams, and people kept trying to trade me Jamal Williams, saying, like, okay, well, now you'll have the whole backfield covered. I'm like, no, that's not the point. I mean, I want one guy, and I want that guy to hit. That's the whole point. I like wasting three roster spots on Jamon Moore, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Equanimee St. Brown. I mean, that's beyond clogging a roster. But pick one. You know, any of them that the other team has, keep them on your team, because we all see even the third wide receiver on the Green Bay Packers has value. And even if you'll never play them, you might be able to then flip him for more value than you paid. And that's really what most of this game is about, because like we said, it's all about having the pretty roster, not about actually winning games. My next guy is Dallas Goedert. He seems to have a little bit of standalone value, even with Ertz there, but Ertz has been surprisingly healthy lately. I don't think he's missed a game this year. If he has, it hasn't been recently, but he usually does miss a game or two. Now that I traded for him for a playoff run, I hope he does not get hurt, though I just jinxed it, and I'm going to kick myself out of the championship. Why do you let me talk, Brian? I should not, like,
Because your misery is my pleasure.
Wow, that's like the darkest thing I think I've ever heard you say.
I feel really bad about it. I'll probably spend the rest of the episode like apologizing and sending you flowers and stuff.
Yeah, like he trash talks me and he's like, no, but I'm just kidding, man. I'm like, I know you're joking. I clearly I realize you don't hope I die in a fire. I mean, I get it.
Man, things get dark here. I don't know.
It happens at least once a day. my last throw in is Jameson Crowder, because I think everyone is on the hate train and he's a free agent as well. I don't think he will stay. I think he'll go somewhere, and that's probably for the best. I forgot to put Trey Quinn on this list as well, because actually he could be put in on the injured guys you hope people forget. He was looking like a good slot receiver, and he's going to be a whole lot cheaper than if they have to pay Jameson Crowder. So I think if you can get Jameson Crowder on the, I mean, probably doesn't even cost you a second anymore with how poor he did this year and how hurt he was in the beginning of the year. So I think he's a great guy to get thrown in, because I think he'll find a new team, and slot receivers, they don't take as much time as everyone else as like number ones to fit into an offense. So I think he'll pay back quick. Anyone have anything to say on any of those guys?
First of all, Trey Quinn and the Scarn probably answers that might exist. I really like Jameson Crowder, and I think on a functional franchise that's not in disarray. And I know as a Browns fan, I probably shouldn't say that, but
they're good now. That's all that matters. We don't live in the past.
Right. Yep. Baker, I really think Jameson Crowder can be a solid wide receiver three. I mean. And has lots of PPR upside. I would absolutely want him as a throw in. And Rush, you are correct. The hate on him is probably way, way overblown. So, yeah, a new landing spot, and I am all in on Jameson Crowder. And I really like Dallas Goedert. I think he's a guy – or Dallas Goedert, excuse me.
I don't know. I just sort of picked away and kept with it. I don't know if that's really how you say it.
Yeah, but that's – I mean, he's a guy that, let's be honest, if he was on the Cowboys or any of the probably 20, you know, the tight end needy teams in this league, I mean, he would probably be a top 10 tight end this year. So so if he ever gets a shot – and actually the deal off staff league, I have Goddard kind of handcuffing Ertz. And I really think that's a solid play, because I think Goddard just – If God forbid something should happen to Ertz, and I knocked on wood for you, Russ.
I appreciate it.
I think Goddard could just step in there and really put up some solid numbers. So
100. All right, so let's keep things moving.
Wait. Before we keep moving, no. So I went back here and look. So I would like to switch my vote here on the Jacksonville running back moving forward. Because I looked, so Yeldon is actually the RB15 right now on the season.
What? Dang.
I mean, that's got to be situational. 15. Well, I mean, most, yeah, he had two very large, well, he had, all right, so between week 15, three.
I feel like that's got to be like a statement about the running back landscape more than Yeldon himself.
Between week 3 and week 10, he went 15, 23, 26, 10, 18, 16, 12.
Man,
that's solid.
That's pretty good. That yeah. Super solid, I mean, and he has, so through 14 weeks, he has 171 fantasy points in a limited role. Carlos Hyde last year as a feature back in San Francisco, which was what I was referencing as him being undervalued. He finished the fantasy season with 212 fantasy points. So he's only 41 fantasy points behind that with 2 weeks to go and not in a feature role. So Yeldon, I'll switch that. I would rather probably have Yeldon than Hyde then moving forward, I think.
That was some good info. I'll allow it.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
All right. So, yeah, you're being very rude right now, and I don't appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. So, again, before you were so rudely interrupted, Josh, why don't you give us the player that you are willing to throw into trades?
Oh, boy. Trigger warning to anyone who likes Sammy Watkins, because I said he's my player I'm willing to throw in, but he is on zero of my teams. But if he's on any of your teams, and this is just in case I pick up, you know, a dynasty orphan that he's on, get him off your team immediately. I just basically playing Sammy Watkins, he's either getting you 20 points or he's getting you two. It's basically like playing Russian roulette in fantasy. I don't understand it. Either he's inconsistent or he's hurt. Get this guy off. I mean, I was looking at it. His DLF ADP is 51, which there has to be just one, you know, Sammy Truther that is in all these drafts that takes him, because if you can get any value for this guy, get him off your team. I wrote a long article about it. I mean, Sam, and in that article, I think this is through like week 7, week 8, basically, Sammy Watkins had more games under 10 PPR points in the last, I think, 2-3 seasons than DeSean Jackson did. So that should talk about them. Yeah, Sammy Watkins, he's on a high-powered offense, and he can't be consistent for the second year in a row. I mean, what else do people need? If you're Sammy Truther, the time for an intervention is now. Please, please, I'm begging you, trade Sammy Watkins while he still has some value. Please do it. So that's all. So like I said, that's a trigger warning for all you Sammy Truthers out there. Just
glad I don't have to follow that. You're up, Brian. I'm glad.
All right. So my players that I'm willing to throw in, the first one is Adam Humphries, the wide receiver from Tampa. And it's not because the dude doesn't produce. It's just because I'm not sure Jameis is going to be there. And
Humphries is a free agent also.
And he's a free agent, so who knows where he's going to go. Now, if he ends up in New England, I love him. But, you know, and I just think Chris Godwin is going to elevate his level of play moving forward here. So, yeah, I mean, the combination of those two things, I'm willing to throw in Humphries. He has some value because he's been really solid this year. But he's not a guy that I want on my dynasty rosters really kind of in the for the long term. Mm-hmm. And then the second guy is Josh Reynolds of the Rams. And for me, this has more to do with situation than anything. You know, he's getting an opportunity to play right now because Cooper Kupp is out. When Cooper Kupp returns, Josh Reynolds basically goes to the bench. Mm-hmm. Because all three of those starting wide receivers in LA will be on the field ahead of him. So he's just not going to get the opportunity except in spots here and there or in the case of injury. So he's another guy that I think holds a little bit more value right now than maybe he will moving forward. He is a young guy, so, you know, you never know with contracts and different things like that. But I think that Rams offense is set, at least for the next several years. And while he's there behind those guys, he's not a guy that I need to own. So those are my two for the players that I'm willing to throw in. So, Russ, what about you? Who are some of the guys you're willing to throw in deals?
Well, this is going to sound a little familiar. Any of the secondary Green Bay wide receivers? I know I just said that, you know, I want them thrown in, but really, like I said before, they are dart throws. They're trade chips. That idea of Aaron Rodgers third, or even if you could sell them being their second wide receiver, that just holds so much value when it's nothing more than a dart. You have no idea what they're going to do. You have no idea if they're drafting someone higher. If they're going to go, well, they don't really do free agent wide receivers, but you have no idea what's going to happen. You have no idea which of these guys is going to hit, if any of them hit. So if you can use them as a token just to upgrade somewhere else, I would so easily do that. Also, you alluded to it before, Ito Smith. It's not necessarily because I don't believe in the guy. He's okay. Yes, Tevin Coleman's going to leave. Yes, Devontae Freeman is usually hurt. My bold take for the Falcons was that we were about to see the decline of Matt Ryan. And two-ish weeks ago when we recorded, it had not happened. But that offense has been bad lately. And I have never been a Sarkisian fan, even though it's the offense started to look nice with him there. I don't know. Something ain't right. And I don't really want... Man, I get a text message and like I cannot think of two things at once. I think I have nothing against Ito. I think he has a very good chance to have opportunity, but I think the probability of that opportunity gives him more value than what he will have if he gets it, if that even made sense. Did that make sense? I started rambling a little bit because I had no idea how to say what I wanted to say. Like, I think
you're saying the idea of him having a job there and having that RB2 role will probably be like the idea of it has more value than the actual production that he will produce, which means that his value, the idea of the value is higher than the actual value will be once he starts getting into that job.
Yeah, his perceived value is higher than his actual value.
Yeah, see
those are smart words.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's why you write for 16 different sites. You're good.
Man, there it is. There it is.
All right. Yeah. Right. And again, the same thing like with Ito and with the wide receivers from Green Bay, what you do is you lump these together with someone like Sammy Watkins to get an upgrade on a wide receiver.
Absolutely.
My last is Kenneth Dixon. Now,
but it's Kenneth Dixon, SZN.
That was for Alex you, Stompy. Collins,
so. Okay, so the reason I'm willing to get rid of Kenneth Dixon, A, he's doing well right now, so people will put value to that. I still think there's going to be changing coaching turnover. Those are the words that were supposed to come out of my mouth. In Baltimore, the rumors are still going around. I still believe it. Kenneth Dixon, whether it's his fault or not, has never been able to stay on the field. So I think now that, I mean, I remember trying to use Kenneth Dixon as a throw-in, even like in my home league where there's a freaking trade deadline, up until the trade deadline. And people are like, no, just don't even bother with that guy. So, I mean, like you couldn't, you know, get a nice smile for Kenneth Dixon, which I think now you could use him again to at least even out two sides of a trade a little bit. And I would absolutely be willing. I'm not buying this. I'm not buying his ability to stay on the field or that he will be safe if there is a coaching turnover.
Yeah. I actually, for my slingshot plays for DLF, talk about Kenneth Dixon and call him the Bigfoot of the Dynasty community. So yeah, I would say Bigfoot will go into hiding very soon back. I mean, he's emerging now, but in the long term, no dice. Yes. Sell, sell, sell. And I'd sell right now if you still can.
Oh, yeah. All right. So that is our throw-ins. Now, these guys are actually going to be the goal of a trade that you are doing. And I'm going to go first because I want to. I have two running backs and a tight end. My two running backs and Jay Ajayi. Now, both of these guys, well, Jay Ajayi, we have no idea. It's a foregone conclusion. He's out of Philadelphia. I think they owe him money, right? Is that what it is? So they'll probably cut him. Or is he just a free agent? He's just a free agent. Okay, good. I'm glad we had that talk. These are two guys. It's not the player themselves. It's the price you can get them at with the ceiling we've seen them have. So I think these are two guys that you can get for probably like late seconds at this point, especially Ajayi. To see him getting traded for a second is probably a thing of skill on the person who got the pick. But I mean, Devontae Freeman too, he's so hurt all the time. And yeah, that's he's a bad, bad dude. And like, he looks for the contact and he found it. That's the problem. But if I can get him for a second, and we know he has the ceiling of being the running back one, which, not to say he'll ever do that again, but it's been there. So if you can get him as, you know, your running back four on your team, I think that's a great move, especially if you're like me and you build around wide receivers. Like, this is a great end of bench kind of idea. My last guy is Jonnu Smith. I've always been aboard the Jonnu train. I think he was getting a little expensive, especially once Delanie Walker went down, and then he randomly got involved in the offense and caught 70-yard touchdowns, which you don't really see tight ends do very often. So wait a few weeks, let people forget that he is ridiculously athletic and talented, and go by. Somebody else talk.
Yeah, I'll do mine. For your injured players that you'd want to acquire, I would say Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, before the year, this guy was, yeah, I'm looking at his ADP here. His ADP topped out at, sorry, guys, it was 75 back in March, which for one QB ADP, that's pretty high. And now he is at 144. So it's basically, you know, his ADP is doubled. So I think you can get him at a great price. And I mean, and you got to look at Kittle's emergence. You know, I really like Dante Pettis. Kendrick Bourne looks solid. You know, I like Trent Taylor, Richie James. I think there's weapons there. And I think that Garoppolo is going to be able to bring the most out of them. So if you're in a one QB league and you're looking like my DLF team has famous Jameis, who's okay. You know, unfortunately the Blake's on there, Sam Darnold, who we'll see. If you need an upgraded QB, I would go for Jimmy G, because I think he's going to come back strong next year and he can really flourish in that offense.
I like it.
I do too. Yep.
Ryan, bring us home.
All right. So I have three. I'm not going to talk a lot about two of them, but I want to focus in on one. The two I'm not going to talk a ton about, and these are all kind of obvious, but Cooper Kupp, who was producing at an unbelievable level before he went down with the knee injury, and seems, you know, Jared Goff hasn't been the same quarterback since he went down. His safety blanket is gone. Christian Kirk is another guy. I think, you know, he was having a mildly productive rookie season, a little bit limited, obviously, with the rookie quarterback as well. Those two are kind of growing up in the league together. But I love Kirk's potential moving forward. I think he's a guy that has some explosiveness and can make some big plays. But the guy I want to focus in here on is Darius Geis. For me, he was the unquestioned 102 in rookie drafts last year behind Saquon Barkley, including in Superflex drafts. Mm-hmm. Now, having seen what Nick Chubb has done in the league, I understand why people would, number one, have considered Nick Chubb, because this Nick Chubb looks like Nick Chubb first couple years at Georgia, not pre-injury, after, yeah. Right, pre-injury yep. Chubb, right? And that guy was one of the best talents, like, if he would have not had the injury, he would have had the same, if not more, hype than Saquon Barkley coming out of school. Because yep. that he was unbelievable at Georgia his first couple years until he had the injury against Tennessee. You know, so I understand that discussion. But Darius Geis is that type of talent. So Nick Chubb right now in December ADP, Nick Chubb is going 17th overall. So mid-second yeah. round. In ADP,
that is so awesome.
and I was not in any of those startups, so there is no Browns fan love for me in there. Just wanted to say so.
Yeah. Now, and he did. It is slightly inflated. I mean, he had in one of the drafts he went 13th. He was the first pick of the second round.
Wow.
But he was never taken beyond the second round.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in with the Dynasty Blueprint, they did a startup draft with, you know, Ryan McDowell, Matt Williamson, and Tyler Gunfner was on there, and Tyler took Chubb in the second round.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, so you have a couple of these other rookie running backs, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel going mid to late third. you know, and this is the type, that's the type, Kerryon Johnson going end of the third, early fourth round in startups. Geis right now is going later than all of those guys. And to me, he's as talented as the Nick Chubb. I would rather have Darius Geis over Sony Michel.
Oh, any day. Oh my God. Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. I would probably take Nick Chubb over Geis at this point, just because I've seen Nick Chubb do it in the league and I know I've seen him in that offense. But I think Darius Geis, if they can get a quarterback, okay, if Washington can get a quarterback, because that's going to be a big thing, because Alex Smith, I think he's probably done. Yeah, that was nasty. Awful.
Yeah.
And now he's got an infection or something too from the surgery. So it's just messy. And I don't think he's coming back. If they can get a quarterback in there, I mean, Darius Geis, he was looking good in the preseason. Now he has very limited work, but he looked real good in the very small amount of time that we saw him. And he's an infectious personality. I've talked about that on the show before. You know, I think he's a guy that can energize that team in that city from a football standpoint. And he's super talented. I mean, so he's just a guy that, I mean, at 40th overall ADP, I'm buying him at that price all day, every day, twice on Sundays.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And Brian, are you saying Colt McCoy is not a long-term answer at quarterback for the Washington Redskins? I would have to agree with you. I'm just being a smart ass.
Yeah, no, I don't think McCoy is the answer. Maybe they'll bring RG3 back. Who knows?
Colt McCoy wasn't the answer for the Browns in 2012. So he's not the answer for the Redskins in 2000.
Oh, man, he's been in the league for that long?
Yeah, we're old, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe it was 2010, 2011. It was a while ago. Yeah.
Okay. That's even longer. Don't make it longer. That makes it feel weirder. Wow. That was... Okay. So quickly transitioning out of that. That is all of our stuff, right? We all talked. Yeah, I think we all talked.
Yep.
Awesome. So that was actually a lot of good information. I'm going to probably make a couple of trade offers before I post this. That's one of the great things about actually doing this podcast and having people on and hearing Brian say some smart things. I could do stuff about it before I let other people hear it. We have some Trade Addicts trades to talk about. Are you good to stick around, Josh?
Yeah, sure. I'll stick around for a minute. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, sure. Why not? Let's do it.
Shouldn't take too long.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Trade Addicts trades.
Yeah. All right, Trade Addicts leagues are 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end, premium with a little bit of points for return yardage. The first trade we have is from Trade Addicts 2, which features a couple of guys we've been talking about. Nick Mullins, Julio Jones, and Vernon Davis for James Conner and Manny Sanders. Now, this, I believe, was actually after the Manny Sanders injury. Ooh. Just to put a little bit of information out there, Twitter still sided with the James Conner, Manny Sanders side, 64% to 36%. Guest, Josh. Sure. Can I call you Joshua? I'm going to do it anyway. What do you think about this one?
This is after the Manny Sanders injury. I'm with Brian. I don't – if he comes back, is he ever going to be the same guy? I know it's 2018 and we have great medical technology, but this is tough because I do love James Conner, and if he's the RB1 in Pittsburgh, then yes, he's probably the best player in this trade, and that's probably why 64% of the Twitterverse thinks this is a win. But I understand super flex, but unless you really need Nick Mullins to play, you know, this week, which going against Seattle is bad, that's a terrible matchup. I love Julio Jones, Vernon Davis. I think this is closer than people think. I still think Julio Jones has several productive years left as a top-tier wide receiver. So this is closer. I would side with the Conner side, but I think it's much closer than, you know, 64-36. That's my opinion.
Brian?
Yeah. This one's tough.
I thought you were going to be like, yeah, no, super this side. I don't know what you're debating about. Well, that was that kind of yeah you usually come in with.
So here's the deal. I love James Conner. what he's done this year has been unbelievable. I was shocked. I am shocked that he can produce at the same level, essentially, that Le'Veon Bell was producing at. I never saw that coming. I totally did not see that coming. Having said that, you know, especially after the Sanders injury. Now, before the Sanders injury, I think it's probably right that it's around 64%. I think that's about right. But after the injury, I mean, Julio, the whole yeah thing is about Julio Jones. Okay. He hadn't finished worse than wide receiver 7 in half a decade. He's wide receiver 6 this year. He's scored a few more touchdowns than he normally does, but not a ton more. And he and James Conner are within 3 points of each other, in terms of their production. Now, obviously, you know, when you look at age in Dynasty, that plays a big factor in this too. And Conner is a young kid. He's going to be around probably longer than Julio will be around potentially. Although positional age is a little bit different. To me, it just is frustrating. Every trade pull Julio Jones is in, when you're getting a comparable player, it's always the other side of that. And I don't understand that, because all the guy does is produce. All he does is produce. He's 29. Yes, he's 29. I don't give a crap. He has 1,500 yards receiving through 15 weeks or something like that, 1,400 some. I mean, every year it's 1,400. 100 and some catches, 1,400 yards every year. Just bank it. And I think he'll do it until he's 33 years old, unless he gets hurt. So that offense, ugly, but Julio gets his. He just gets his. So I'm not worried about it. I would probably lean slightly to that side, especially with the Sanders injury. Nick Mullins is playing pretty well. He might have some value. I wouldn't hang on to him if I received him. I'd try to flip him again. But right now, you know, to a team that doesn't have a lot of quarterback, you know, a lot of good quarterbacks rostered, he might be a guy you could flip to a QB needy team. And then we talked about Vernon Davis earlier. Again, I didn't actually look at who, I mean, I know who owns these guys in the league, but, well, yeah. So the gentleman that received the Julio side is competing. He's competing for a championship. So that's why he made this deal. Yeah. So, but anyways, yeah, it's pretty close on value, I think. But I guess I would lean slightly with the Julio side after the Sanders injury. I would have leaned slightly to the Sanders Connor side before the Sanders injury.
Yeah, I mean, especially since this is after injury, it comes down to Julio and Mullins for James Connor. And if I'm still getting 2-3 years of elite wide receiver production out of Julio, which I think you can get, I'm going to go team wide receiver with team backup quarterback, I guess. So, I mean, it's close. I side with Julio. Moving on, another Trade Addicts 2 trade. You put your trade in here, you sneaky so-and-so. this trade is Antonio Brown for Chris Godwin, Jalen Samuels, a 2021st, a 2019 second, and $30 in fab. How did you? Why fab? All right. This one was 72% in favor of Antonio Brown. Now, clearly, we're going to imagine that this is a team who had Antonio Brown is no longer competing, so selling for smaller, younger pieces, which he definitely did. I still think it's not enough for Antonio Brown. What do you think about this one, Josh?
I would agree, but you got to think. I think Antonio Brown is starting to get a visit from Father Time. If you saw Evan Silva tweeted out tonight, Antonio Brown's last 6 games, he has 62 targets for 40 receptions, converted into 40 receptions, 511 yards, 4 touchdowns. Juju Smith-Schuster's last 6 games, 62 targets, 45 receptions, 640 yards, 4 touchdowns. So I think we're seeing Evan Sullivan even put it the passing of the torch for the Steelers. I mean, I'd love to hear Brian's take, but obviously the Antonio Brown side wins. And I mean, Jalen Samuels, I feel like that's a prisoner of the moment. Chris Godwin, I really do think has, you know, I think he has huge, huge upside. But yeah, I don't think it's enough for Antonio Brown either, even though Antonio Brown, as we, I think we're seeing Juju Smith-Schuster become the wide receiver one in Pittsburgh. That's my opinion. And, you know, I'm a Juju owner in some redraft leagues. So that's just my opinion. I love to hear the, you know, Mr. Terrible Tal himself. I'd love to hear Brian's opinion here.
So y'all can't see the video, but Mr. Josh Brickner can see the video. So he's getting the Terrible Tal wave here in the video.
So did James
got it too. So
did one of your kids wet the bed and you had to clean it up with that? Is that what happened?
Hey, you know what? This is even a special edition towel. This is a special edition, like Christmas edition, with there's like nutcrackers on here with Steeler helmets.
That's
and
adorable.
Stuff. It's fantastic. I'm telling you, they come out with. Hey,
I'm gonna go vomit.
We're all about. Hey, at least you're consistent, Josh. This. So the one good thing about the Terrible Tal is all the proceeds go to charity, which is awesome.
That's true.
We're all about charity on this show. So, but yeah. So as far as your point, Josh, I could not agree with you anymore. I absolutely believe that this is the passing of the torch this season. Juju Smith-Schuster, hold on, let me rewind that. Juju Smith-Schuster is a superstar in this league. He benefits from being across from Antonio Brown, okay? But for the next few years, Antonio Brown is going to benefit from being across from Juju Smith-Schuster as well, because that kid is a special talent. He's a superstar. He's going in first round of startups too, I believe. Looking at December, he's actually 13th. So he's beginning of the second round, and he's going one spot ahead of Antonio Brown. 8 years age difference. Juju's a star. And I have one share across around 20 leagues. Which makes me sick to my stomach. If you are in a league with me and are listening to this show right now and you own Juju Smith-Schuster, except Rob, because Rob, you and I have gone back and forth for a year almost about Juju and haven't been able to get something done. So, but anyone else that owns Juju, please contact me. I would love to pay you what he is worth to acquire him. I might even pay you more than he's worth.
Yeah,
I probably would even pay more for him right now. So, but I did acquire Brown in this trade for a playoff team, that is making a push, I absolutely 100% agree, Josh. Couldn't agree more that the passing of the guard is happening this season, going into next. But AB's still up there. He may not be the elite of the elite, but he's still in that tier for me, at least. Maybe another season. We'll see the trajectory next season and see where he kind of goes from there. But for a competing team, he's a guy that if somebody has given up on him or isn't competing or thinks, you know, oh, he's being passed by Juju and he's 30 years old now and he'll be 31 next year. I got to get rid of him while he still has some value. I will buy at a slight, what I see as a slight discount, which is what I paid. So, that's kind of where I am on the Steelers receivers.
Cool.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, this last trade is boring, and
I kind of agree.
Josh needs to go, so we're going to wrap up a little bit. That's the end of our. Well, I'm going to call it the end of our show sheet. Brian, quickly delete that so I could say it and actually mean it. That's the end of our show sheets. That's sort of the end of our show. No one is actually watching right now, so you can't see what I'm pointing at. I got this awesome canvas print from, oh man, I should have had this ready. Canvasprintsforcancer.org. This is run by an awesome dude named Travis on Twitter. He is at T-Man, and I think that's 4 underscores. Man, get a better tag, man. It's an awesome Seahawks banner. It has the Seahawks paint colors, like paint dripping down as the logo with the words. It's awesome. It's right now sitting on top of an old trombone case that I have because I was way too lazy to actually put a nail in the wall to hang it up.
But it is awesome. It, like Brian said before, we are all about charity on this show. Anything you have that proceeds go to charity, I will probably buy. So, you know, go hit up at T-Man. I'm going to say 4 underscores. It should be his pinned tweet at this point. At least I told him to. Hit him up. He can do football stuff, non-football stuff. It's an awesome price for an awesome cause. And go check him out. Clearly I did, even though, well, clearly not really, because you're not watching, but I'm still pointing to it for the two people that can't see what I'm doing.
Nice. It is, yeah. I might go and get a Browns one. That's great, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I know he does multiple NFL, most NFL teams, probably all of them, so.
Yeah, he can, and again, it's not just football stuff. It's anything you want, I'm sure he can work with you for. So, yeah, that is now the end of our show. Thanks, Josh, not John, for coming on. I'm glad John never showed up in the middle of our... Oh, yeah. Because so I told you I blamed not me, yeah, for me. For giving me the wrong email address. And the funny thing was I actually sent the invite to the Google Doc and the Hangout that we'd record on to John Brickner, whoever he may be. So I was hoping at one point he would just show up for a little bit just to see what was going on, but it never happened.
Now that's it, because I have an Uncle John and a Cousin John, so I wonder if one of them just is going to pop up or going to be like, hey, I got a Dynasty football request from one of your friends here. And
what the hell is a Dynasty outhouse? Yeah.
What are you doing these days?
All right, so I know you did it at the beginning, but let's do it again. Let these fine people know who you are and where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, thanks so much. I just want to thank you guys for having me, Russ and Brian. Thanks for the invite. I had a great time chatting with you guys. I'd love to do it again. You can find me on Twitter at Josh Brickner, JOSHBRICKNER. Writing for DLF. I got an article actually coming out in a couple days. Also write for Big Guy Fantasy Sports. That's where I do my redraft writing. So come check it out.
Rockin', and go while you're on DLF reading Josh's articles, check out Brian's 2QB and Superflex rankings. One day you'll actually say it before I do, even though I haven't really been giving you a chance, because when would I let you talk? Anything else to talk about, Brian?
No, just want to say thanks, Josh, for coming on. Sure. You know, when Russ was asking this week about guests, we always try to get together sometime over the weekend if we haven't planned for the upcoming week and talk about who we might want to have on. And right away, I thought I'd love to have Josh on. I know you and I have gone back and forth a bunch on Twitter with different subjects and things. And you're always a big supporter of my writing and anything that I'm trying to do. And I try to do the same. So it's awesome to have you on. Thank you. And we'd love to have you on again down the road.
Absolutely. Hey, just let me know and I'll be on. I'd love to do it.
Awesome.
Rock and roll. All right. Well, on that note, night, Brian.
Later, Outhouse.
Night, guys. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod. And follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Hart. Please remember to subscribe and review the podcast.